Good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you all tonight. 4 years ago, it was March of 2020, and it was almost to like today's date. Do you remember businesses started just shutting down? Schools were closing. The stock market was tumbling. It was like silent chaos was ensuing. And all that we kept hearing was that phrase, these uncertain times. The country was going into, at the time, what we thought to be just a 2 week, a 15 day lockdown period. In so many ways, we were just kind of going crazy. If you think about it, we were like wiping down boxes of cereal. We were masking up like alone in our cars. The greatest fear was like a slight runny nose. Not to take away any of the legitimate reality of COVID and everybody whose lives it affected. But we were scared. The uncertainty was really real. And from that came hysteria. And then on top of all of that, the churches pretty much shut down. The doors were closed. We had to go pretty much totally virtual. It was at a time when we arguably needed them the most. Looking back at all of this 4 years later, I think that we can kind of think like, what? Like, what were we thinking? How did we let it get to such a point where it affected our lives in so many of these ways? I mean, those couple of months really had us doing some crazy stuff. I think that if you look back, or if you go forward 20 years, and you're teaching like a classroom full of kids about that time period, I think maybe we'd look back and be a little embarrassed, maybe even like humiliated at some of the things that we did. Like, we really did that? We really let it get to that point. It was like so many of our day-to-day freedoms were taken away, and we were left with almost nothing. Looking at tonight's stations, Jesus falls for a third time, and then he finally makes it up to Calvary, where he's ultimately going to be nailed to the cross. And what do? They strip him of his clothes. I think it's kind of like a last act of public humiliation that they put him through. He's literally stripped down. He has nothing left. He's totally and publicly humiliated, publicly mocked, literally and figuratively stripped down to nothing. Just imagine the embarrassment, that indignity that he's going through because of our sins, because of our turning against him. I think that from this, we should kind of be thinking almost the same thing as before with the COVID stuff. Like, how did we let it get to this point? What were we thinking? But yet Jesus, he knows the mission. He understands the mission. And he keeps going. He knows that this is all part of Good Friday, that suffering is the way to glory. I think that looking at the stations, and specifically the last few, You know, we're like more than halfway. I think we can kind of think like, are we willing to do this? Would we be willing to do this? And who would we be willing to do it for? A lot of times, you know, when somebody's making an argument or they're passionate about something, they'll be, you know, in the argument and they'll say, like, I'll die on this hill, or I'd die on that hill. Well, here's a thought. I think that sometimes we need to take a step back and think, if the hill that we say we're going to die on doesn't look like Calvary, then we're dying on the wrong hill. The battles, no matter how insignificant in our lives that we fight, the things that we devote ourselves the most to, they have to be rooted in truth. They have to be rooted in Him. And for that, for standing up for Him, we'll be publicly mocked. We'll be humiliated. We'll be hated. How do we know this? Because He tells us that's what's going to happen. And He goes through it Himself. A couple of years ago, a friend of mine who had been thinking about going into the seminary for a bunch of years, pretty much through high school, he was going to tell his parents that he'd be entering. And he kind of always knew how they were going to react and what they were going to say, how they'd feel, and he was exactly right. They weren't happy. They couldn't accept it, and they were kind of like angry. But my friend knew that this is what he had to do. He knew he had to tell them that this was going to be it, and he told them, I'm going. Like, decisions made. He was willing to make waves. He was willing to take the heat, even if it meant that his own family wouldn't accept it. And it hurt him. It hurt him a lot. And still to this day, a couple of years down the road, it still bothers him. Because he knew that what he was doing is the right thing. He knew that what he was doing was rooted in truth, is rooted in God. And it was exactly what he needed to do. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about like this stuff, these Jesus issues, it's easy and it's nice to talk about, and we say, yeah, like I would totally do this. But I think that when it's our like our families involved and the people that we're closest to, like speaking from my own experience, I think that just makes it so difficult. It brings it to another level, and it makes it harder. But it's always the right route to go. It's the route to go. Personally, I'm not a big movie guy. And when you work with Father Brian, that's borderline cause for firing. So when he first asked me to talk tonight, I was hesitant because the thought of having to relate a movie to a talk like we do here, it was really hard for me to think about. But one of my favorite shows is Blue Bloods. Many of you probably know it. It's the story of a family of city cops and their lives. How they handle different situations, both in the family and on the job. Their different personalities. And it just really makes for a good show. One of the things that I love about it is the realness of it. A lot of cops who watch it, you know, they say they really like it because it's one of the best portrayed TV cop shows that's out there. Frank Reagan is the police commissioner of the NYPD. He's known as just an all-around good stand-up guy. He's not afraid to take a stance against the tide and do what's right, no matter at what cost that comes. In one episode, he's speaking at the funeral for an officer who died from a 9/11 illness. He talks about how on that day, that cop saved more than 100 people. 100 people were alive because of that cop. Whenever I hear the story of like a 9/11 hero, and I don't remember 9/11, I was 2 years old. But whenever I hear like somebody's story from that day, that idea of just literally and figuratively going into the fire, not knowing what the outcome's gonna be, not knowing if you're gonna make it out alive, but still going into the fire. Because there's human life, God's greatest creation, at stake. And for that, these heroes are willing to take that risk, and they're willing to suffer. At the funeral in the show for this cop, he's talking about kind of the heroism of the cop. And he says, right toward the end of his eulogy, "For we the living, all that's left to do is honor them, take care of them, and rededicate ourselves to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion." The last full measure of devotion. As we look at tonight's stations and we reflect on suffering, both the suffering of Jesus and suffering in our own lives, and we go to that thought of, like, what were we thinking? How did we let it get to this point? Maybe what we should think in times of suffering is the answer is just that: to rededicate ourselves to the cause, to rededicate ourselves to Him. Maybe the key to suffering, the way to find meaning in it, and the effect of it needs to be to rededicate ourselves to Him. Because when we do that, that's how we'll find true freedom. In an interview 20 years after D-Day, General Eisenhower is looking over the English Channel with Walter Cronkite. And it's like a two-hour interview, but I saw a great quote from it, and I thought, wow, that's so cool to think about. And he says, "It's almost surreal to look at it today and remember what it was. But it's a wonderful thing to remember what those fellows 20 years ago were fighting for and sacrificing for. What they did to preserve our way of life, not to conquer any territory, not for any ambitions of our own, but to make sure that Hitler could not destroy freedom in the world. To think of the lives that were given for that principle, paying a terrible price on this beach alone, on that day, 2,000 casualties. But they did it so that the world could be free. It just shows what free men will do rather than be slaves." This whole idea of looking back at events and circumstances and times why things happened and what we learned from them. I think that if Jesus, who is the way, tells us that we have to pick up and carry our cross, then maybe, or definitely, suffering is part of the way, part of the path that we have to take. The soldiers on the shores of Normandy, they did it so that the world could be free. Jesus, he did it so that we could be free.